Several years ago, two students graduated from Chicago Kent College of Law. The highest ranking student in the class was a blind man named Overton. And when he received his honor, he insisted that half the credit should go to his friend Kasperzak. Now, these two had met one another in school when the armless, no arms, the armless Mr. Kasperzak had guided the blind Mr. Overton down a flight of stairs. The acquaintance ripened into friendship and a beautiful example of interdependence. The blind man carried the books, which the armless man read aloud in their common study, and thus the individual deficiency of each was compensated for by the other. After their graduation, they planned to practice law together. This morning, we're going to continue our discussion about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit as we study chapters 12, 13, and 14. That's the foundation of all three of those chapters in this book of 1 Corinthians. We realize and we're reminded in the first half of chapter 12 that we're gifted. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you're born again, if you're a new creation in Jesus Christ, then God's Word clearly says that you are gifted. This week we're going to discover that not only are you gifted, but you are needed. You are needed. I'm excited about this study of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Many look at the gifts of the Spirit and they're like, well, I want to just kind of get through that teaching as fast as I can because, you know, there's people with different ideas about the gifts of the Spirit. But I say God's Word is the idea that we need to have, and so we don't want to just blow through it and run through it, but we want to spend time looking to God's Word about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what they mean to us today, so that we will live it. I mean, we'll embrace these gifts, we'll live it, and we'll experience all that God has for us. So that's what we're doing. I believe that as we continue to study about the gifts of the Spirit, that it is going to bring even more and more unity in our church family. It's going to encourage us. It's going to build us up as we learn this and then as we live it. That's the way God's Word is. It's alive and it's active. And when we choose to learn it, to take it in, to the point of then living it out, whoa, good things happen. Good things happen. Let's go to Scripture. We're in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians in verse 12. God's Word says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ," or so it is with those who are in Christ. Verse 13. "For in one Spirit," notice that's a capital S, and I even bolded it up there for us this morning. "For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body." Paul is referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. "We were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink." Or another way of interpreting that Greek word for drink is to be saturated in. All were made to be saturated in one Spirit. I want us to remember the context of this passage of Scripture that we're studying this morning. We're in chapter 12. The context is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It hasn't changed. Just because we got to verse 12, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden now Paul is going to go away from the gifts and we have some completely different context and discussion that we're having. No, this is all in the context of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Paul said at the beginning of the introduction to this whole discussion about the gifts. He said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." So we continue to allow God's Word right now to inform us about the role, the importance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church. Let's go to verse 14. For the body, and Paul is really talking about the church, he's using this analogy of the body. The body is analogous of the church body. For the body does not consist of one member or one type of member. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. Let me back off here just for a moment. The church is a diverse representation of the beauty and the glory of God. It's diverse, and it represents the beauty, the majesty, the glory of the Creator of all things, God. And each and every person is special to God. And each and every person has been given very important gifts to live out, and they are important. Every person in the body of Christ is important. Every gift given to every person in the body of Christ is important, whether you think it or not, Paul's saying. Whether you think that you're important or not, God's word, God, says you are important. I have created a diverse body. We look different. We're many people, very diverse, and every single person that is in my body, in my church, that's a follower of Jesus Christ, that's in my family, every single one of my kids are important. Whether you think it or not, you are important. So we got to start thinking God's way. Austin talked about that. We got to start having the mind of Christ, thinking of what He thinks of us. God's word right here, right now, this morning is saying that you're important. Whether you think it or not, start thinking you are, because you are. It's frustrating when we don't think God's way, isn't it? Arr, it just drives us crazy. Start thinking God's way. You're important. Okay, let's go back to the text. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? So, again, getting into this little bit by little bit, basically, if everyone had the same gifting, because that's the context of what we're talking about, if everyone had the same exact gifting, it wouldn't work. The body wouldn't function properly, right? If everyone just had the gift of hearing the voice of God, but not speaking it, it just wouldn't make sense. You see where Paul's going with this? Everyone is important. Every gift that everyone has is important. We need to recognize that. We need to embrace that. God's body is very diverse, and it's a beautiful thing. Church wouldn't be very effective if everyone had the same gift, or if we only allowed one gift to be used by the body. Wouldn't be very effective body. Verse 18, but as it is, he's saying, so all that stuff, that's crazy. It wouldn't work that way. If you think you're not important, or if there's only one gift, or you throw out the gifts, it wouldn't be very effective. But this is how it is. But as it is, God arranged. Who arranged it? Did the pastors, the elders, the 21st century church, because it fits into the culture, did the culture arrange all this? Are we going by what the culture says and by what, you know, conventional wisdom says how a church should operate and what it should look like and what's important and not important? No. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body. Each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, in other words, if all had the same calling, if all had the same role, if all had the same giftings, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Again, last week we discovered, we were reminded that you're gifted. You are gifted. Every believer has been given spiritual gifts. We've got to embrace this reality. We've got to live it out. This week, our text reminds us that you are needed. That's the title of today's message. You are needed. Each and every member in the church is important. And every spiritual gift is also important. I have 3 points that I'm pulling out of the passage this morning. Point number one is this. We're going to go right into it. Point number one, you are needed for diversity. I'm talking to everyone in here who knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you don't know him, you're wanted, you're loved, and you need to join this incredible family. I'm talking about the family of God. I'm talking about knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, being born again. You need to know him because there's just no other way. And if you know Jesus, if he's your Lord and Savior, you are needed. You are needed for diversity. Everyone and every spiritual gift is critical in the church. Diversity is important, and it's beautiful to God. Can we understand that? Sometimes we like to make the church look so homogenous, and everyone talks the same, and everyone walks the same, and everyone dresses the same, and everyone acts the same, and that's not what God has designed. He didn't make us as a bunch of robots that have no choice but to just look like everyone else and talk like everyone else. He created us on purpose in very unique ways for specific purposes, special purposes. He created the body of Christ, his body, to be diverse. And when his body is allowed to be diverse, it's beautiful to God. And it glorifies him. He has a purpose for diversity in the body of Christ. And you, each and every one of you, are needed for that diversity to happen. Let's keep going in our text. Check it out. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Sadly, I'm just going to back off the text for a moment here again. Sadly, this is too often what happens in the body of Christ. I was talking with Steve Martin this morning. He was talking to me about somebody who has a gift of healing that he just met with, and he experienced it firsthand and saw it with somebody else that was in that home that night. The gift of healing, we talked about it last week. It's one of the spiritual gifts. We need the gift of healing. But often, a gift like that is like, I don't know, we don't need you. Well, it's a little scary, it can get a little weird, and it can be abused too easily, so we're just going to throw it out. No, 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 no. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The person with the gift of prophecy can't say to the person with the gift of healing, I have no need of you. You're too embarrassing. Or stay in the little, you know, room over there in the corner and don't come out. And maybe we'll tell some people every once in a while if they really, really, really need it to go in there, but it's kind of the crazy healer guy, you know? No! That's just not right. God doesn't want his children, you know, treated that way, that he's gifted in special ways. No. Verse 22, on the contrary, God's word says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Isn't it just like God to do that? God is a God who loves the least of these. Don't forget the least of these. He talks about the least of these. He came for the least of these. He loves the least of these. And we just have a different value system as people and as a culture. And we'll call something least, and we'll ignore it, and we'll shove it off in the corner. And God's like, what are you talking about? I value that. What you're saying is least and not needed and not important or embarrassing is high on my value system. We got to look at God's way of looking at things. When we look at one another, and when we look at the gifts and the callings and the roles that he has for us in the body of Christ. Verse 25. So he's given greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. That's why I just said earlier, I'm just so excited about talking about this, because when we understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the role that they have, and we understand how to use them in the body of Christ, it doesn't bring division, but it brings unity. It brings unity. but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Again, you're needed for diversity. You're in the body of Christ. You're in the church for a reason. You have been given gifts. You've been gifted. You've been given spiritual gifts for a reason. There's a purpose. God has ordained it. You're important and you are needed. Interestingly enough, Paul teaches the same exact principle when he writes to the church in Rome. And interestingly enough, just as this passage is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the passage to the Romans is in Romans chapter 12. It says almost the exact same thing here. So go to Romans 12, beginning in verse 4. Paul says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function," diversity, right? That's what he's saying. The members, there are many members, and they don't all have the same function. They don't all look alike. They don't all act alike. They are not all gifted alike, right? There's diversity in the body of Christ, he says. "So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Verse 6, he says, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." So again, in Romans, he's talking about the body of Christ and the importance of the body of Christ and how we're diverse and how there's many of us. And what is the foundation of that discussion again about the body of Christ? The gifts. The gifts of the Spirit. And we're to use them. We're diverse. There's many, gifted in many ways. Many different roles. And we've got to understand that, because that starts to make sense now of why God's talking about how all the parts are so important. Yes, because we're made in the image of God, but we're so important because He has specific roles and gifts for us to use to accomplish those roles. We're all different from one another. God created each one of us for a special, unique purpose. And you know, when I was thinking about that this week, it made my mind go, because I have a heart for the unborn and abortion makes me sick. And frankly, as I was reading this passage of Scripture about the diversity in the body of Christ and the importance of every single person and the special unique gifts and the roles that each person in the body of Christ fulfills and how important that is to each one of us, that we're all here together and operating together, and the things that we miss out on when people don't show up and gifts aren't used. I thought about the unborn. I thought about how many members of the body of Christ, future members as they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, of those 50-some 60 million little babies that weren't allowed to be born, that weren't allowed to engage in the body of Christ, that weren't allowed to use the gifts that He's given them, that we weren't allowed to fellowship with and to do life with and see the kingdom of God come and watch God be glorified in all the diversity and the use of the gifts. It's another reason to hate abortion, frankly. Yet another reason. Okay, let me get back here. So God uniquely created us for special purposes. I talked a little bit about this last week, that we need to be careful to not compare ourselves with one another, not to compete with one another. If you go into 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it warns us of that. Paul warns the church, hey, don't compare yourselves to one another. We're diverse, and that's good, and we don't need to compare ourselves to one another, but we need to rejoice and see it as a beautiful thing, that we're different, and we have different gifts. Diversity does not suggest inferiority. There's no less than in the body of Christ. Each member matters. Each one of us are important to God. Each one of us are needed for this diversity. Look, you're unique, you are special, and you are needed for diversity. And it's a beautiful thing, and it glorifies God. Somebody needed to hear that this morning. You're not just a tag-along. You weren't created just to watch everyone else, just to watch your brothers and sisters enjoy the things of God. You are needed. You're important. Let's go to point number two. Point number one, you're needed for diversity. The second point that I'm seeing in this scripture is that you are needed for health. You are needed for health. A diverse body with all of its parts in place and fully functioning brings health to the whole body, and it brings life. It brings fullness of life. When all of the parts are there, and when all of the parts are being used properly, that brings health. That displays health. When everyone's fully engaged in operating in their spiritual gifts, the body will function, or the church will function, at its fullest. Now, we know that a body can function if there are certain parts that aren't there. We know that to be true. I think of the center for Baylor University's basketball team right now. His name is Isaiah Austin. He's a 7-footer. And when he was 16 years old, he was playing baseball, and the baseball hit him square in the eye. It detached his retina. They did many surgeries on his eye, but in the end, he lost it. He lost vision in his one eye. He thought that his opportunity to play athletics was over. Why? Because when you only have one eye, it distorts things. You lose half of your peripheral vision. Imagine that. Close one eye. How well can you see in that direction peripherally? Very, very difficult. Close one eye. How's your depth perception? How easy would it be for you to catch a ball? It makes it very, very difficult. Yet, this young man worked and he worked and he worked, and even missing a part of his body has been able to still compete at a high level. Yet, how much better, how much more effective could he be if he had both eyes, if he wasn't missing a part of his body? So yes, the body can function and even be effective if parts of the body are missing or if spiritual gifts are unused. The body of Christ can still have some effectiveness. However, this isn't God's perfect design. It's just not. You see, God didn't create us just to survive. He created us to thrive. He didn't create us just to kind of get by. He created us to have victory, to thrive. And yes, we can just get by as the body of Christ if there are people missing and if there are gifts that aren't used. We can still survive. But it's when we all come together, it's when all the gifts are used, when we are at our fullest health and our fullest effectiveness, and when we begin to thrive, and I say the church needs to start thriving. We've been surviving, but frankly, we've been surviving and dying in the process. You look at the church in America today. Are we thriving? No, we know we're not thriving. But we're declining. Look at this generation that's coming up of young people that are graduating from high school, and I think, believe it or not, the statistic that is out there is 4% are remaining in the church. 96% are saying, I'm out of here. I don't want to be part of that. It's sick. It's not full of life. It's not thriving. I want to be part of something that's exciting, something that's real, something that's alive, something that's thriving. And I think about that. I think, could it be that the world is looking at the church and just talking, okay? I'm just talking. Could it be that the world's looking at the church, and even people in the church are looking at the church and going, that just doesn't look very healthy. Looks kind of anemic. I don't know if I really want to be part of that. And could that be a result of the body of Christ not being fully engaged? Could that be a result of the body of Christ leaving parts of the body or discarding parts of the body? Could that be a result of the fact that the body of Christ is leaving the gifts and the things that God's given us to thrive in and to use? They're ours. They're right there. You saw it. We talked about it last week. You're gifted. It's like that bow is on there and it's right next to you. God's saying, open it, open it, open it. And we're just pushing it away, pushing it away, pushing it away. What if there's something embarrassing in there? I don't want to open it. And because of that, we're not operating in fullness of health as a church. I'm talking primarily the greater body of Christ. But I'm preaching to us too. God has so much He wants and He's ready for His church to thrive, and He's given us all that we need to thrive. We need to embrace all that He's given us and walk in it. Not be afraid of it, but embrace it, walk in it, and we will see ourselves thriving. The world will see a church that's healthy, that's attractive. I can't help but think of the early church. It talks in Acts 2, 42 through 47. And it's going through there saying all that the church was doing, how they were living together in love and sharing and worshiping together and coming together every single day, and God was moving and great things were happening. And then it says, and there's no accident, at the end of it in verse 47, it said, and God was adding to their number daily those being saved. Because here's the picture I get. I get this picture, that the church is healthy, it's thriving, it's full of life, the gifts are being used, people are being accepted, they're celebrating the diversity and everything that God's doing, and the outsiders are kind of looking over the fence. The world is going, dude, that looks awesome. I want some of that. I want some of that. I need some of that. I've been looking for that. That's the real deal. Look at that life that's going on. I want to be part of that. That's the picture I get when I read that passage of Scripture. That's a church that's healthy. And today, right now, in 2014, you are needed for health. You are needed. Your presence is needed in the body of Christ. Your giftings, the special things that God's put inside of you and called you to, need to be birthed, need to come out, need to be used. You're needed so that the body of Christ will be healthy. You're needed for health. Point number three, you are needed for impact. So point one, what was it? You're needed for diversity. Point two, you are needed for health. Point three, you're needed for impact. I read that in an old Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demanded that Linus change TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he didn't. What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over? Asks Linus. These five fingers, says Lucy. She continues, she says, individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. Which channel do you want? Asked Linus. Turning away, he looks at his fingers and he says, why can't you guys get organized like that? You're needed for impact. Now, kids, I don't approve of Lucy's methods of manipulating Linus. I don't approve of or condone you using violence to get your brothers or sisters to do things for you. Not a godly thing, not a good thing. But I will say this, we can learn from this example. We can learn, there's a principle here, that when we, the church, come together as one body, as one fist, if you will, we come together, united, using our spiritual gifts, we become powerful. And we can impact our world. We can impact our community. We can impact the atmosphere. We can impact our environment. We can impact our circumstances. We can provide impact when we come together as the church, with our gifts and our callings and our roles and our uniqueness and our diversity and our health. We come together, boom, impact is going to be the result. This is God's way. This is what Scripture is showing us here. This week, some different passages were just flying through my brain as I was being awakened again to this reality, especially after Lucy's example there with the five fingers and that fist. And I thought, first of all, of 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, if my people, if my church, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves. Now, it takes humility for us to gather together and to recognize that we need one another. It takes humility for that. It takes humility for us to receive a gift from somebody else. There are people, and I've been there in my life, in my past. Right now, I'm good at receiving gifts. So if you got any gifts for me, you bring it on, and I'll say thank you very much. But there was a time when I had so much pride that it was even hard for me to receive a gift. Isn't that crazy? It takes humility even to receive a gift and then to use it. It takes humility to trust God enough with what He's called us to. So if my people, God says, if my church, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and then do what? And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. This passage came to me in the context of what we're studying here in 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ coming together and how we're needed to come together and how impact happens when we come together. When God's people humble themselves, we come together and we humbly use the gifts and humbly walk out the roles and the callings that He has for each one of us in the body of Christ. Impact happens. Nations can be changed. Land can be healed. Communities can be healed. I love that word. Let's give God the glory for the fact that the abortion rate's coming down in Arizona because God's people are humbling themselves. They're coming together. They're praying. They're crying out. They're saying, God, forgive us of our wickedness. Heal our land. And He's healing our land. It's happening. God is glorified for that. God is moving. If God's people weren't doing that, coming together as the body of Christ, crying out to Him, believing Him for this, I'm telling you right now, we would not have any turnaround in sin like abortion. It wouldn't happen. Because left unchecked, man will keep going further and further and further with it unless God intervenes and says enough is enough. And when God's people say, hey, I'm part of the body of Christ and I'm needed and I will come together with my brothers and sisters and I will humble myself and I will cry out for God to heal our land, this is God's way. This is what happens. I think of the passage in Hebrews 10:25, where it says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints. You are needed. So don't forsake the gathering of the saints. Why should we not forsake church? Why should we not blow off church and prayer meetings and life groups and the gathering of God's people coming together for kingdom things? Why? Because it's a religious duty and we need to check it off, right? No. It's not about that. No, we need to not forsake the gathering of the saints because when the whole body comes together and then engages together with the gifts and the callings God has for us, we become fully functional. We begin to thrive and impact happens. Impact happens in the lives of the people there, in the families of the people there, in the community where we are, and even in our nation and our land. Impact is the result of God's people gathering together. So why should we not forsake the gathering of the saints? Because of impact. And we got to get a whole new perspective on church. Church is not where you go to get entertained, for you to get goosebumps, for you to get fed, period. That's not it. Church is when the body of Christ comes together, when the diverse body of Christ, all of us, come together with everything that God's put inside of us, and we use it together for the common good, as we studied last week. And we engage together as the body of Christ. And some come with prophecy, others with tongues, others with song, others with a word, others with encouragement, others with wisdom, with a word of knowledge for somebody, with a prayer for somebody. And we come together as the body of Christ and we fully function and it's beautiful and we thrive and impact happens. That's church. And so why should you not forsake the gathering of the saints? I'm coming right at you right now with it. Because when you're not here, we are limping around and we're not breaking through places that we should be breaking through. Because you're not here. Why is it so important for every single person in here, including everyone that lives in the whole wide world, that you engage with the body of Christ and that you actually say, God, I'm going to humble myself. Show me the gifts you've given me, and I'm going to step out in them. It's scary. It feels weird, but I'm going to do it. Why do you have to do that? I'm saying it that way. Why do you have to do that? Because everything is at stake. Because when you don't do that, the body of Christ is limping. We're limping. And we're not thriving the way we can be thriving, the way we're called to thrive. This is it. This is the mystery of God. God could just do it all himself. He didn't need mankind to do anything. Right? Could God do it all himself? Boom, he did, right? He spoke it and woof, everything existed. He could do it. But he has chosen. He has chosen to have a relationship with mankind, his church. And he's chosen to use us and to involve us in bringing his kingdom to this earth. And if you're part of the body of Christ, you're called to be involved. And you're needed. You are needed for impact. You've got to understand how badly you are needed for impact. You may be looking at your life thinking, I'm so insignificant. It doesn't matter if I'm there. It doesn't matter. I mean, the gifts I have, I'm just learning them. I'm not even really fully walking in them yet. What difference does it make? It matters. You are needed. You are needed. You're so important. How many of you have gotten gifts for your kids? And it says some assembly required, and you put it back on the shelf. Because you're like, I don't want anything to do with that. But often, those are the coolest gifts you can give your kid. When you got to put something together and it works, and they can get on it, and they can ride it, and all this kind of stuff, right? Some assembly required. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the church assembly is required. And it's when we actually don't just put it back on the shelf and say, I'll just take something less than. No, it's when we take it off, we say, assembly required, no problem. I want that gift, I'm ready to roll with it. And we actually assemble. That's when, that's when we get the fullness of what God has for us. That's what God's Word says. You could say, that pastor, he preached a hard message. I'm saying, this is good news. Everybody wants breakthrough. Everybody wants more of God. We got it all. We just got to come together and do things God's way, and we will see it happen. That's why God's Word's so great. It just unlocks it all. It renews our minds. It will change your life. Listen to this, parents. If you sign your kid up for piano lessons, if you sign your kid up to be on a sports team, basketball or baseball or whatever, you make a commitment, right? You decide you're going to be part of that team. You're going to be part of that whole commitment, right? And so what do? Do you just kind of show up whenever it feels right? Do you let your kid just show up to half the games? Maybe a fourth of the practices? Not really that important. No, you don't do that. Because you know you made a commitment. They're part of the team. You know that their attendance is needed and it's important. And for that team to fully function, it wouldn't work if they're just there part of the time. It just wouldn't work if they didn't have a shortstop that practice or that game. And there was a big void there. It just wouldn't work. I mean, this is just a baseball or basketball team. It's nothing compared to the call that the kingdom of God, that the church has to bring the kingdom of God. It's nothing in comparison. Yet often we get in this weird la-la land where we think, if we're there or not, no big deal. No, we got to understand that our attendance is so important. And I'm not just trying to get more people to come to church and all this kind of stuff. I'm just saying this is the way God works. This is his way. This is how the kingdom works. This is how the church thrives. This is how the church is healthy. This is how things operate. If I go out on the basketball court on Monday night when we play Tri-City and I got three guys on the court instead of five guys on the court, we're going to get whooped. There's no way around it. I could play a team that's half the talent and skill as us. And if I got three guys on the court instead of five, we're done. I wouldn't let that happen. So it's not optional for my guys to come to practice or to come to games. It's just not. Because they are needed for us to thrive and for us to have impact. They're all needed. They're all important. You are needed. You are needed. You are needed. When we come together, united, being led by the Spirit, trusting God, humbling ourselves, letting God move, being willing to use the gifts God's given us, impact is going to happen. Church is going to be built up. We're going to be healthier. The enemy's going to flee. Mountains are going to be moved. Doubt will curl up and die. That's one thing I talked about earlier. When we come and we use our gifts and people are seeing one another using the gifts, faith is going to rise up. And that doubt's going to start to curl up and die because we're going to see God really moving in and through the church. So I want more of this. I want all that God has for us. God's glorified when this church operates in this way, when we do things His way, when we're willing to humble ourselves and be the church and trust Him. Trust Him. You are needed. Your presence in the body of Christ is critical. We don't function without you. God has made you unique. He's given you good spiritual gifts. Your brothers and sisters benefit so much when you use them. And as the body of Christ, we bring impact and we glorify God when we come together this way. You are needed for diversity. You're needed for health. You're needed for impact. You are needed.